Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Texter writes, you know, Tara, my wife actually likes it when I grill and sexually harass her. It turns her on. I love a man who can grill. I do.
Well, that does seem to be a manly trait about putting meat over a flame.
Gillette. I mean, what the left wants the men to get in the kitchen. You know what I mean? Don't leave it to your wife to cook. Well, he's out there cooking. What's your problem?
Yeah.
Jeez. Now, I've been explaining this. That Gillette ad has everything to do with the left's obsession. And they are obsessed. Do you remember it?
Oh, yeah.
Again, 2016, 2018, with their betrayal. And it's because white women who are married, the majority of them voted for Trump and then for the Republicans. And so they believe that this is because the men are, they're mansplaining politics at home and they're influencing us. And I mean, endless articles, we talked about them at the time, but that's how they feel. They didn't get their wave that they wanted. They want to take the Senate too. They didn't, you know, they Trump won. And so they got to get these women. You know, if you would divorce your husband because of his toxic masculinity, that would be ideal. But that's probably not going to happen. They just want you to convince these women not to listen to their husbands.
I'm just sick and tired of human secularists telling us how to live a moral life. It's real simple. Love God, love people, you're done.
Right, and your spouse in particular. So, and Texter nails this. Bingo, Gillette is owned by Procter & Gamble and Nelson Peltz is backing no labels super PAC designed to turn the House over to Democrats in 2018. This was a total political message, and it was aimed at women, not men. Men suck. That was the and at the end. You know, at the end, they conclude that men suck. They say, "Well, you know, men have been bullying, sexually harassing, and it shows them treating women terribly and generally grilling and stuff like that." And then at the end of it, you know, toward the end, it says, "Well, some men have stood up, and it shows some men still, you know, standing up to the other bad men." But then it concludes, "Most of you still suck."
So we're grill shaming now.
Grill shaming, yes. Texter writes, Tara, I guess I'm a totally hopeless woman, Tara, as a granddaughter of a gun-toting veteran who was raised by my father, who raised my brothers and I before I married a man whose masculinity caused me to now have three wonderful boys who will likely grow up to be men. What to do? What to do? I don't know. Call Democrat Party headquarters
well,
when you don't know
don't
what to do.
Please don't do that.
It's a joke.
Yeah, I know.
Texter writes, looks like I'll be growing a beard. Good. Keep it trim, though. I love a beard on a man, but you gotta trim that stuff.
Yeah, you gotta be careful when you're grilling with that beard.
Yes,
too.
And watch that because it is definitely a fire hazard.
Yeah, because nothing better than the smell of good meat on a flame, but nothing worse smells worse than burnt hair. Let me just
burnt beard. Yeah. Ugh, okay. Texter writes, Tara, I listened to the debate last night at Bob Jones. Mr. Loftus won hands down. And Amy Rhino Doyle shot herself in the foot so many times, it must be hard for her to walk today. So says Jim in Easley. What'd you think of that? That's the only feedback I've gotten so far. What'd you think of the debate last night? 800-347-1063, text line 71307. All right, so how many times have we posed the question, have texters posed the question to us, Lee? So, okay, Nancy Pelosi doesn't want borders. Why does she let the illegals live on her property?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, we now have an answer to that question. What would happen if the illegals wanted to live on her property? Care to take any guesses how this went? do you care to guess?
Oh, I think we know where this is headed.
Yes. Laura Loomer, who I love. She's a highly effective conservative activist, which is why Twitter took her account.
Laura Loomer, how could you not love her?
Do you know what she did? When Twitter took her account, she chained herself to the front doors of Twitter, chaining the doors closed in the process. It was awesome. But nobody knew about that since Twitter took her account. Anyway, I did, though, because I follow her. Laura Loomer and a group of bona fide illegal immigrants showed up at Nancy Pelosi's Napa Valley, California home.
All right.
Yes. Her lawn. And set up a sanctuary camp on Monday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi wants open borders, so certainly she will welcome the new squatters, was Laura Loomer's theory, right?
No.
Anyway, so she set up a canopy because she wanted to keep, you know, she wanted them to be shaded and all that.
Right.
Set up a canopy on Pelosi's lawn with the word immorality emblazed in red letters because Pelosi regularly says walls are immoral, right?
Right.
Okay. So she's out there with the illegal immigrants, and she wants to know how she figure how long will it take before she gets booted off Nancy's property. She attached photos of Americans who have been killed by illegal aliens to the immorality tent that she used to shelter her illegals. Well, Loomer and her legal alien friends were chanting, "Everybody is welcome here," on Nancy Pelosi's front lawn.
I guess that was a sanctuary tent.
Yes, it was a sanctuary tent. They had every right to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they?
Of course.
I mean, who is Nancy Pelosi to tell you that you can't go wherever you want in America? I mean, her message is you can go wherever you want in America, right? I mean, is that not it?
Yeah.
That don't include her front lawn in Napa, by the way. Do you know what property goes for in Napa?
Oh, I'll bet that's nice. That's some
very nice.
Very nice. And I'm sure you would love to be there because that's wine country.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my dreams. A trip for me and the hubby through Napa.
Well, maybe you can stop by and say hey to Nancy, too.
Yeah. Someday. Someday when the kids are gone.
Hey, Nancy, you're number one. That'll be your message.
Yeah, right. I know, really. Update. And by the way, the illegal immigrants were from Guatemala and Mexico, the ones she brought to Nancy's house. Yeah. Do you want to know how long it took before Nancy had them ejected?
I would say less than a day.
Yep. Ding, 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 ding. It was about a day. By 1 p.m., the police had ordered, she got there early in the morning, the police had ordered Laura Loomer and her illegal alien caravan to leave Nancy Pelosi's Napa Valley property.
Well, I guess there are borders after all.
There are, and they start right there, just outside Nancy Pelosi's front door.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but no borders for you.
No, no.
Peons. You too stupid to have borders. You, but no, but we're not having illegals on Nancy's property.
No.
We're just having them next to your child in school, preferably unvaccinated.
She and her rich husband.
Right.
Of tuna factory fame.
I love the last line of this piece. You want to hear it? Laura Loomer and her caravan of illegal immigrants are now en route to newly elected California governor at Gavin Newsom's
home.
Good
deal. Great.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they won't last long there either.
Yeah. Get some free health care from him.
Yeah, he owes it to them. They're owed health care.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I don't know why, but just because. Texter writes, "Tara, I watched Laura Loomer yesterday live for an hour on Nancy Pelosi's front lawn. It was hilarious." Texter writes, "Tara, I'm single, conservative, and will not vote for a Democrat. I hope and I pray that I never become that deranged." Well, just don't hit your head or anything.
Yeah, we hope you don't either.
Texter writes, "Hey, Tara, most single women are one-issue voters when it comes to elections. Married women look more deeply at the big picture of many issues and vote for those that also look at the big picture, so they vote more conservative." Thanks, says Richard.
Well, with all apologies to all you single folk, I do think that married folks look at things differently. You've got a very different perspective. You've got different, priorities. And I'm sorry. I think when you are looking at husband and wife, family, things that are going on, things that you have to deal with, I think it gives you a different perspective on what you're taxed, what you have to pay for, who you're responsible for, the what you need, what you want your government to do or not do to you.
Yeah. Yep. Texter writes, "I think it's time to call Procter & Gamble and leave some toxic masculinity on their phone lines." Another texter writes, hashtag Gillette. Another text writes, "Gillette, the further champion of the beta male. They'd prefer no male."
Maybe we go to the Gillette factory headquarters there and just set up a bunch of grills.
Yes.
And grill some meat.
They should explain what the problem is with the man grilling. Because like in my house, if the man's pulling out the grilling equipment, I'm like, ha ha, I don't have to cook.
Exactly.
It's a good thing. Believe me. Interesting list of what you're most likely to die from. Given what's on it, but what's not on it is interesting, too, in America. And what a commentary it makes about American life, really. Okay. Top 10 things you're likely to die from. You ready for this? Motorcycle accident is number 10. Those things are dangerous. They are. You're going at a high rate of speed with no protection around you. I mean, think about it. What do they tell people in cars? Got to wear a seatbelt, you'll die. Well, there's no seatbelt on a motorcycle. Anyway, motorcycle accidents, number 10. Number 9, hit by a car or other vehicle, 1 in 556. I can't emphasize to you enough how dangerous driving is. Do you guys wonder why is she always going on about driving? Because I should explain this to you, why I'm obsessed with it. As my first job as a reporter was at the Fort Mill Times, and my job was to go out and get photos of the horrific car accidents. because those really got the, made the papers fly off the rack. So I came back with the first one. The editor, you know, so I've seen body parts down the highway, long smears of blood. In my opinion, they clean up car accidents too fast. People ought to get a look at that so they can appreciate exactly how dangerous it is to get in your vehicle every day. So, I mean, if you're wondering why I'm always going off about this, I've seen what they look like, and you'll never get that out of your head again. Anyway, I bought the first picture back, and I had done it all wrong. They want a tasteful, my editor wanted a tasteful smear of blood kind of in the corner, but not the whole actual, like, you know, dismembered and you know, wrangled body. That guy actually hadn't lost any body parts, but some others did, but he looked bad. And I just photographed. He said, no, we can't do that. No, you should concentrate on the smear in the corner. We want to suggest the blood. Not actually, you know, we want to suggest the carnage, not actually show it. So I learned. I'll never get that out of my head. The new reporter always had to do it, too, because everybody else hated to do it. Excuse me. All right, number 9, most likely ways to die, hit by a car or other vehicle. 1 in 556. Number 8, getting shot. 1 in 285. Number 7, falling. 1 in 114. You know, the crazy thing about this, people do not realize how dangerous falls are. You just don't even think about it. I mean, the most dangerous place that you can be on your property, it's not in your car, it's on your stairs. Most likely ways to die, number 7, falling. 1 in 114 chance. See, and you know why nobody knows about that? You fall and you die, you don't make the news. It's not sexy, but very deadly. Number 6, car accident, 1 in 103. Isn't that crazy? Think about all the precautions we take for driving, right? A seatbelt, oh my gosh, she doesn't wear a seatbelt. I mean, you wouldn't even think of that, right? It's probably highly controversial to everyone who loves you if you don't wear a seatbelt. Car accident, likelihood of dying in 1 in 103. But you're almost as likely to die in a fall in your home, and nobody talks about that. So be careful on those stairs. I mean, I know, I broke 2 of my toes just in the last calendar year falling down the stairs. A second time, the first time I displaced my shoulder. I'm a klutz, though. But be careful on the stairs. Tell your kids how dangerous. They are dangerous. Okay, number 5. This is interesting. Most likely ways to die in America. This is from the National Safety Council. They just released the annual list. This is from 2017, the most recent data available. Number 5. This has never appeared in the top 10 until the last decade. Opioid overdose. 1 in 96. Folks, do you realize America's now more likely to die from an opioid overdose than a car accident? And that more Americans die of opioid overdoses than in car accidents? Do you realize that opioid overdose was not even in the top 20 15 years ago for ways Americans die? It's number 5, more deadly than car accidents. I mean, that shows you the extent of the problem with, don't take those when your doctor prescribes them. If you are dying of terminal cancer and you have pain, take them, please. Please take them. My mom did. If you got some pain after an ankle surgery, don't take them. Don't do that to yourself. It is, I mean, you wouldn't go home from the hospital in a car with no seatbelt, would you? After the ankle surgery, don't take the opioids. Tell your doctor to stuff it. Stupid prescription. Number 4. Suicide. By the way, this is the first time in the last 5 years that suicide has begun to appear in the top 5. And this is, you know, this is the overhang from what the elites did to us, to our economy, to our earning power, to our wages. It devastated men in particular. It did. We're not through it, but hopefully we'll see that go away. Number 4, suicide. I just opioid overdose and suicide more likely to kill you than an auto accident. Wow. Number 3, lung disease, 1 in 27. By the way, you know the majority of lung cancers now are in non-smokers? You need to pay attention to that. Don't think because you don't smoke you can't get lung cancer, lung disease, lung problems, that kind of thing. Number 2, most common way to die, cancer. 1 in 7. And number 1, highly preventable for most of us, heart disease. The odds are 1 in 6. That'll be what gets you if you don't fall down the stairs first. Hey, you know what's interesting? Not on the top 10 ways that we die. Number 5, a hornet, bee, or wasp sting, 1 in 46,000. Getting attacked by a dog, 1 in 115,000. Number 3, plane crash, one in 188,000. Lightning, one in 218,000. And train accident, one in 243,000. So just take care in your house again on the falls. I mean, a fall just is almost as likely to kill you as a car accident. And we think a lot about car safety, auto safety, seatbelts. So we don't think about, you know, you go running down the stairs. I'm in a hurry. Bam. Dead. Don't do that. Don't do that. Stay away from the opioids. You don't need painkillers to get over routine surgery. Trust me. I did a couple of cesarean sections, two of them, with no opioids. If I can do that, you could do it too. Text your rates. Can you post the top 10 ways you could die on Facebook page? Yes, I will. I'll get to that at the break. Some interesting things in there, things you wouldn't think of, like falls. Texter writes this, though. Number 10 is motorcycles, which is amazing that it's in the top 10, given how few people own a motorcycle. That's how deadly those things are. Texter writes, hey, Tara, a very good friend of mine has sold motorcycles for 20 years. He told me at least 4 of the 10 people that buy a motorcycle from him are dead within the first 6 months. I don't know if it's that high. I don't know about those stats, but that one's way. Here, shoot, we got twice the auto death rate and twice the national average auto death rate, so maybe. Man, you could not pay me to ride a motorcycle here. They can't drive. They're going to run into you. You got no protection. Texter writes, it's not stairs, it's tubs. Well, apparently, I checked the stats. It's all falls. That's how they code it. So it's tubs, stairs, tiles in your bathroom get slippery. You go down hard. Slip in the kitchen. It's slips and falls in your houses. So, yeah, you've got that person in your house who's like the fall Nazi. That's actually both of us in our house. So my mother-in-law fell down the stairs and badly broke her leg. I mean, like, bones sticking out, having to have a rod in, whole nine yards. So we've been obsessed with falls since then. And you got to be. Almost as likely to die in a fall as you are in a car accident. I think about how much time we spend thinking about that. You know, cars had to be safe, you know, wearing seatbelts, and nobody talks about falls. Texter writes, if it were included as it should be in a list of things Americans die from, I bet abortion would have topped the list of reasons Americans die. What is that? Okay. Yeah, okay, I'll post it. I'll go ahead and post it. Okay, I got to move on to this. I can't let this go. This is bad news. What Tim Scott did, and you know, I have been on him for a long time, our senator. I am sick and tired of Tim Scott only opening his big mouth to get offended about racism, sexism, homophobia, that kind of thing, when a Republican allegedly does it. And the massive free pass he's given on that to the Democrats. Listen, I'm all for combating racism, sexism, homophobia. I'm for that. But I don't think Tim Scott is. I don't think he's serious. Because if he were, he'd combat it wherever it reared its ugly head. Not just if there's some way he could hurt Trump with it or his own party. For Tim Scott, he should be ashamed of himself to write this in the Washington Post. Let me tell you what he wrote. Here's the headline on it. You know what's disgusting about this? Tim Scott tars the entire Republican Party as a bunch of racists because of something one guy, Representative Steve King, said. Now, had Steve King, he's a congressman from Iowa, actually said this, it would have been racist. He didn't say it. And Tim Scott owed him a courtesy call before he wrote this piece, slamming the Republican Party as a bunch of racists because of the stuff they say and don't condemn. The headline, Tim Scott, why are Republicans accused of racism because we're silent on things like this? So he's criticizing Representative Steve King for saying to the New York Times, quote, white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? Okay, this was out yesterday. I didn't really say anything on it. It's actually been out since January 11th. Today's the 15th. I didn't say anything. Because I knew something was wrong. I knew something was wrong. In your right mind, if you've got a room temperature IQ or above, do you honestly think Representative Steve King sat down with the New York Times and said, white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization, how do those things become offensive? Do you think he actually said that? You'd have to be nuts to defend white supremacy in an interview with the New York Times. I knew he didn't say it. He couldn't possibly have. I mean, he would talk about suicide, political suicide. It'd be easier to just go ahead and resign. So I've been waiting for the correction. There's no way he said it. And it turns out he didn't say it. This is what the New York Times did. They quoted white nationalists, white supremacists, Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? They started the quote in the middle of the sentence, cutting off the first part of the sentence, which dramatically changed the meaning of the sentence. Are you surprised? Come on, it's the New York Times. Tim Scott's been around a block. He knows better. Call Steve King and ask him if he said it before you tar your whole party as a bunch of racists. It's just, I am so disappointed. I think, and I'd like to know if you agree. Do you agree? I mean, do you think that Tim Scott owes Representative Steve King an apology? It's too late now. He's already been stripped of his committee assignments by the leadership because Tim Scott went screaming to the Washington Post writing about this, calling his whole party racist because we don't condemn things like this. I've been on Tim Scott for years to start condemning the racism of the left, and he won't. The anti-Semitism. It's endless. And that's with the party leadership. Here's what Steve King actually said. And when you read it, it makes a lot more sense. Steve King did not say white nationalist, white supremacist, white Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? Here's what he said. He was discussing with the reporter the worn out label of racist that the left keeps attaching to people, reflexively attaching to people so they can avoid having an actual debate, which we all know they would lose if they had to use facts. He said, my observation that other slanderous labels have been increasingly assigned to conservatives by the left who inject, this is the quote part, who injected into our current political dialogue such terms as Nazi, fascist, white supremacist, white nationalist, white supremacist. Then he pauses and he says, Western civilization, how did that become offensive? Well, that's a totally different thing, isn't it? I wasn't defending white nationalism or white supremacist. The word white supremacist. He was trashing the left for reflexively using those terms. By the way, do you realize what the New York Times did here? This is the journalistic equivalent of a lie. Okay, there's something called the AP style guide. And it's like the law of journalism. Everybody has one in their desk, right? And there are rules for how we do things as journalists. I have a journalism degree. The first thing they give you, the first year, Journalism 101 is the style guide. And they tell you to memorize it. And they give you tests on it. In the style guide, if you quote somebody and you start in the middle of the sentence and you cut off whatever prefaced it, you have to be honest with your reader about that. And the way you're honest with them about that is you put quotes, dot, 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 and then you begin the sentence with a lowercase letter. You're letting your reader know there was something said before this. It was a lot of extra stuff. I didn't have room for it. So I'm starting a quote in the middle of a sentence. The New York Times ought to know that style book because I know it. And yet they took a sentence, started in the middle, capitalized it to make it look like the beginning of a sentence and threw a quote on it. It's a total violation of a style guide. When I was in journalism, I had two great editors, one a liberal, one kind of moderate. I would have had my rear end rearranged for doing this. I would have been called up to the office and given a talking to and probably a warning, don't do it again or else, if it didn't cost me my job. And to see the New York Times do this, I mean, come on, this was literally first year journalism stuff. It's a lie. And so for Tim Scott to go after Stephen King, without giving him the courtesy call first to find out, did they quote you right? Because, you know, they are the New York Times. And then for Tim Scott to extrapolate this into an indictment of the entire party? Why are Republicans accused of racism, ? Because we're silent on things like this? From the guy who has been more silent than anybody about the overt racism of the left? I mean, like, folks, this is Hillary Clinton in just the last 6 months talking about Black people.
What do you think of Cory Booker's? And you didn't comment on him and you feel free.
I adore him.
What do you think about him saying kick them in the shins, essentially? Start to get to that kind of political.
Well, that was Eric Holder.
Yeah, Eric Holder.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know they all look alike.
No, they don't.
That kind of stuff goes on every day. I mean, you've literally got the number two in the Democrat Party, Keith Ellison, who distributed Louis Farrakhan's newsletter. That newsletter praised Hitler, denigrated the Jews, likened homosexuals to Satan, and praised Hitler for killing the Jews. He disseminated it. He admits he did it. Obama had Farrakhan to the White House after that. Tim Scott's got nothing. Nothing. We document this racism and sexism all the time on this show from the left. Scott's got nothing. Nothing. He doesn't care. I think, Senator, you owe Representative Steve King at a minimum a phone call and probably an apology. Oh, and the whole party, too. Texter writes, I think we all ought to call Tim Scott's office and demand he apologize to Steve King. Steve King, yeah, he could start there. Apologize to the whole Republican Party while you're at it for tarring us as racist. I don't even say us. I don't know if I'm a Republican. Half the time I'm not. I'm done with them, too. Texter writes, hey, wasn't Huck one of the brothers in Secondhand Lions? I knew they lived through the plane crash into the barn. No. Thanks for playing. Texter writes, shoot, I remember that from high school journalism, those AP rules. Yes, apparently they are no longer used by the New York Times because it gets in the way of lying about what people say. Texter writes, Senator Tim Scott owes us an apology for acting like a buffoon in our name. Seriously, at a minimum, he owes Representative Steve King an apology. Or not an apology, at least a phone call. Good guy. I mean, if you're going to tar your entire party as racist, call him first. Hear what he has to say. I mean, I'm assuming Tim Scott didn't call him. Because if he did, it's even worse. I mean, this man is a double victim. He's victimized by the New York Times. Never sit down with the New York Times if you're a conservative. You cannot win. They will lie and paraphrase you. I've had the Greenville News do it to me. They came to a speech I gave. They didn't quote a single thing in that speech because the speech I gave made sense. They paraphrased me without using quotes and passed it off as something I said. They made me look like a loon. They had me saying that ISIS was secretly trying to take over the country. Some crazy thing that I don't even believe. That you've never heard me say a crazy thing like that. I wouldn't say it. Yeah, well, they paraphrased it, made it up. But the problem is people reading that don't understand that AP style means if you don't put quotes around it, I didn't actually say it. It's just their version of what I said, practically an editorial. But they know that you're not smart enough to know that, and they figured they could fool you. Look, this is what liberal journalists do. They're not real journalists. They're embeds from the Democrat Party. So Tim Scott takes the one line by Representative Steve King, which, again, if King had said it, it would be racist. White nationalists, white supremacists, Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? And tars the whole party as racist for being silent on things like that. Here's a question for you, Mr. Scott. The number two in the Democrat Party distributed a newsletter for Louis Farrakhan that praised Adolf Hitler and denigrated Jews and homosexuals. Well, I mean, while we're at it, you said nothing. I mean, you, as a black man representing the Republican Party, could have really knocked one to the Democrats, yet you won't condemn the other side. I mean, I've been over and over this with Scott. How many times have I gone to his Twitter feed and Lindsey Graham's when another American is killed by an illegal, when Antifa's on the rage, when Antifa's beating up Americans, when their Twitter accounts and Facebook pages are being taken? They got nothing. I got nothing. It's just like it's not going on. It's like they live in an alternate reality. Listen, I'm just going to ask you, Senator. Listen, you like to go around the state and give out medals to military heroes, and I think that's great. That's a great use of your time. We're trying to save the country. So if you're not going to be a part of that because it makes your donors mad, then just shut your mouth. Just shut it. Shut your mouth. We can't afford you to be running your mouth right now. You just go give out the medals. If you're not with us, get out of the way and let us save the country. This is not helpful. This is a disaster, actually. Do you know how many black people out there, because of Tim Scott and his editorial and King being stripped of his committee chairs or his committee positions, now think there were suspicions or confirmed the Republicans are racist. And that's erroneous. And you did that, Senator. You just divided us even worse. And now we got fake news convincing poor black people that they're under attack and assault. I mean, it's so wrong.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.